Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa salatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katsiran katsira ma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, we need two things in this life. There are two things which are what come under the description of darura, something which is critical and essential to survival, something which if it is not there, then even haram becomes halal. For example, if it is a principle of darura that if you are starving and you've been starving for 3 days, you are about to die, and if the only thing that is available there as sustenance is pork, then that pork becomes halal for you. In order for you to maintain your life, in order for you to save your life, that does not make pork halal for you from that day onwards, only for that particular time, because you need it to survive. Now, there are two things which we human beings need, and at this level of darura, and in this case, of course, it's not a question of halal and haram, but something which is even more important. And that is, we need hidayah, we need guidance when we are alive, and we need maghfirat, we need forgiveness when we die and after we die. If somebody is born with all the wealth of the world, nobody is born with all the wealth of the world, but if somebody is born with that, even if somebody is born with that, people have some wealth, they have somebody may have a nice big house, they have some bank balance, they have land, and so on and so forth. And they feel very wealthy and powerful, and they feel very arrogant. May Allah protect us from that. But I'm saying, even if in the case of somebody born with all the wealth in the world, if they don't have guidance, if they do not have hidayah, if they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they are worse than destitute. They are completely helpless. They are finished, because if they die in that state without Islam, then there is only one place they will go to. And it will not matter that in this world, how powerful they were, how beautiful they were, how learned they were, how honorable they were in the eyes of the world, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are nothing. And so also, if somebody is born with Islam, but if they do things which negate their Islam, and if they die, and if when they go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive them, even if it is somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will forgive, but not immediately, meaning that they will go, or they will have to go into Jahannam for a short time. Even then, that person has lost everything. Rasulullah ﷺ in one hadith, he said that if a person has been given every kind of goodness of this world, every single kind, so think about that, reflect on it, try to imagine it, and this person dies, and this person is then taken into Jahannam, and just for a second, this person is dipped into Jahannam and brought out. Just for a second, just in out. And if this person is asked, what do you recall of your beautiful life in the dunya? He will say, I don't remember anything. All of that is gone, finished. That one dip into Jahannam will negate his entire life of luxury and enjoyment. And so also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, somebody who lived in misery his whole life, in terms of his material situation, in terms of his physical situation, in every sense, the person who had tragedy after tragedy, the person was sick, the person was poor, and so on. And then that person on the day of judgment, because the person had Islam, because Allah decided to forgive them, if they are just dipped into Jannah for a second, just in out, and they are asked, what do you remember of your life in the dunya? They will say nothing. They say, we don't remember anything. SubhanAllah, this Jannah is so beautiful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you and me and for all of us, Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab, in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brother and sister, the reason I'm saying this is because these two things, guidance and forgiveness. Now, for guidance, there is one catchphrase that we should all memorize and which we should tell ourselves. And when our friends and relatives and our near and dear ones look like they need to be reminded, this is the phrase that we should remind them with. And that phrase is, ittaqullah. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The phrase we need to remember for ourselves is, ittaqullah. Say it to yourself, ittaqullah. When must you say it to yourself? Say it to yourself in every situation where you find yourself in a position of being able to forgive somebody or to deny them that forgiveness. Listen carefully. Say to yourself, ittaqullah, in every situation where you find yourself in a position where it is given to you to forgive somebody or not to forgive them or to deny them their forgiveness. And if the thought is coming to you that I want to punish this person, I want to criticize this person, I want to say something nasty to this person, say to yourself, ittaqullah. Say, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're driving down the road and somebody does some crazy thing and you want to curse, you want to shout, you want to do something, blow your heart. Say to yourself, ittaqullah. And say, oh Allah, I forgive him or her for your sake. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forgive the people in this dunya and Allah will forgive you on the day of judgment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have mercy on the people of the dunya and the one who owns the day of judgment will have mercy on you. So say to yourself, ittaqullah. We see this all the time in our lives. Small things which are really completely inconsequential. Let me speak to the spouses. How many of you have found, you walk into the room, and usually it is the men who do this. You walk into your bedroom and you find that your husband's unspeakable is lying on the floor, in the middle of the floor. Or his socks are lying on the sofa, draped there as if they are some pieces of decoration. And you as the wife, what is your usual reaction? If your usual reaction is not what I am explaining, then have a good laugh and alhamdulillah, may Allah give you all power and bless you. But the usual reaction of most wives is, hello, excuse me, what is this? And then this is that thing which is lying on the floor and you point at it and you curl your lip up and your eyebrows go up in two inverted V's. What is this? What is he doing here? And if the husband is in a suicidal mode, he might say, well, why don't you ask that thing, what it is doing there? And of course, then there will be lots of sparks and flames and Allah knows what. Now, on the other hand, you might have a wife who just says to herself, she wants to do this. She also wants to point to that thing on the floor, the jockeys, and say, what is this? What is he doing here? But instead, she smiles. She picks it up. She puts it where it should be. Right? She does that on day one. She does that on day two. She does that on day three. She does that on day four. And every time she is doing it, she is saying, Ya Allah, forgive me because I forgive this man. Ya Allah, forgive me because I forgive this man. And Ya Allah, I'm forgiving him because he's stupid. He does this every day. But I'm asking you I'm forgiving him because I'm stupid and I do things with you every day. It's not only him. What he is doing every day, he knows. He knows that to throw his underwear in the middle of the bedroom is not the, most educated thing to do. But he does it. But I don't say anything to him. I pick it up. I put it away. To dip the socks on the sofa is not the best thing to do. But I pick it up, I put it away. Why? And I'm asking you, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. I say to myself, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, have taqwa. Ya Allah, forgive me. Because I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. I do worse than this. I do it every day. I know it is wrong, I still do it. And yet I want you to forgive me. So, as evidence in favor of myself, I am producing this, that Ya Allah, I forgive this man. But the reason I am saying about this, my brothers and sisters, is this is, see this as an opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Don't see it as an irritant. Don't see it as what kind of nonsense is this and what kind of stupidity is this and so on and so forth. See it as a benefit. See it as a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Weigh it against the fact that this same stupid husband of yours, who doesn't know where to put his underwear, will go out every single day in this snow, which I am sitting here in Chicago and seeing, in the snow and in this ice, and he will drive his car 50 miles to go to work to provide you with a house in which you live in comfort, and to provide you with that bedroom in the middle of which the stupid man throws his underwear. What if that wasn't there? What if your husband dropped dead? What if you were homeless? Then you would have no bedroom and you would have no underwear lying in the middle of it. And it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve you of your suffering very easily. Then what would you do? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ourselves. I am giving only one example. I can give you many more examples. And I am using the husband and wife example as a metaphor, and not that it's restricted to that. We do this with our parents. We do this with our children. I know a case where there were elderly parents staying. In my own family this happened. Where the elderly father was staying with the son. And he went into the bathroom. I mean, he didn't have Alzheimer's or anything. He was older people. So he didn't turn off the tap. He used the wash basin. And he didn't turn the tap off completely. He left it a little bit leaking. The son comes in there, and obviously this is something that the father's apparently does, he does it all the time. So he forget. Maybe the tap itself is faulty. It has to be, turned in a particular way, or Allah knows what. But one day the son said, he said to the father, Dad, see this thing. Why don't you turn this tap off properly? The water is leaking and there's so much of water being wasted. The father then stopped speaking to the son. Right now, his reaction also, may Allah forgive us. But he was so offended, he was so hurt, that the son spoke to him like this, that he stopped speaking to his son. And as far as I know, he never spoke to his son again until he died. Now, may Allah forgive the father, may Allah forgive the son. Now, both of them are gone, both of them are dead. May Allah forgive them, may Allah forgive whatever was in the heart. But the point I'm saying is, your elderly parents, for example, right? When the elders are with us in our homes, they are a means of blessing. Because all they do is they sit and make dua for you. Your parents are the only people who are not jealous of your success. Believe me, your own siblings will be jealous of your success. Your children will be jealous of your success. The husband and wife, depending on the kind of relationship, they might be jealous of each other's success. The only people who are not jealous of your success are your parents.
But as they grow older,
yes, they do things which are irritating. But remember, you did all of that and more when you were a child. I always say to somebody, anyone who cleaned up your shit has a right to give you shit. Has a right. And they did that. And don't tell me my mother-in-law didn't clean up my shit. Your mother-in-law cleaned up your husband's shit. Your mother-in-law cleaned up your wife's shit. And that's why that husband and that wife, which you love so much, are with you today. So they deserve the honor that Allah gave them, because the father-in-law and the mother-in-law's relationship is a mahram relationship. Your father-in-law and your mother-in-law are your father and your mother. It's a mahram relationship. So have patience. Say ittaqullah. Forgive them. Honor them. Weigh what they do, the irritation of what they do. Weigh it against the blessing and the noor of their dua, which will descend and continue to descend on you and in your home as long as they are alive. And if you treated them well and if you honored them, then that dua will continue even after they are gone. Or otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you in a situation where one day you will face humiliation at the hands of your own children. I'm sorry if this sounds harsh, but this is the reality. And subhanAllah, I see this in people with their relationships all the time, and I think it is something which is important enough for me to put it strongly. Honor people, honor relationships, don't squander them, don't waste them, don't become super critical. Because remember, if Allah treats you the way you treat your wife and husband, if Allah treats you the way you treat your parents, if Allah treats you the way you treat your husband, the wife's parents, if Allah treats you the way you treat your children, if Allah treats you the way you treat your servants, if Allah treats you the way you treat your friends and neighbors, then you will cry tears of blood on a day when those tears will not help you. We seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what we do. So forgive people, no matter what they do. This is the lesson from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmat.